to DeRocher to roll its double play with DeRocher and Day. With their guest, Preacher Roll, here's another chapter of Double Play with DeRocher and Day. Welcome to another visit with baseball's most exciting and controversial couple, Lorraine Day and Leo DeRocher, with their guest for today, Preacher Roll. At the moment, Leo and the Preacher are concluding a momentous and far-reaching business transaction.
Okay, Preach, everything's all set. It's a deal.
It's a deal, Leo.
All right, okay. Wonderful.
Oh, Leo, what have you done now to Preacher? Sold him the Brooklyn Bridge?
Me sell him the Brooklyn Bridge? He sold it to me.
Well, if the Preacher can sell Leo the Brooklyn Bridge, we can certainly sell you on the following message. And now back to Double Play with Leo DeRocher and Lorraine Day and their guest for today, Preacher Roll.
Fans, I'm sure that most of you know Preacher Roll, the great left-handed pitcher of the Brooklyn Dodgers. In fact, I guess he's just about the best left-handed pitcher in the National League. It seems to me that in 1951, you almost broke the record, didn't you, Preach?
Almost, yes. Got to the last week.
Well, you had a great record anyway.
What was your record, Preacher? Until
23 and 20?
22 and 2 until the last week. Then I lost in Boston.
Oh,
I was supposed to not let Cooper hit the ball, you see.
Yeah.
In other words, put him on.
Yeah.
And if he didn't reach out and get the base hit, it beat me. I'm upset.
You mean you were trying to pass him intentionally?
One of those intentional, unintentional kind, you know.
Yeah, that's right. Now, don't give him a good one to hit.
But I've been pitching 14 years. I should know what to do. And I the ball was a foot from the plate, but he got the base hit.
He still got the bat on it.
Yes.
I imagine the manager wants to jump right out of the dugout.
Well, I didn't blame him, would you?
No, I'd be
probably wanted to jump right out of the ballpark.
Yes, I almost did.
You were a little mad yourself, I know that.
Very mad.
I can see that.
You know, Priest, that you're the first guest on the show who isn't as good a hitter as Leo.
I wouldn't say that.
Well, he only hits 220. Everyone we've had on this show can out.
Wait a minute now, Preach.
You're the only one who cares.
Let me say something. I'm not supposed to hit. Now, he played regular, and I'm hitting half as much as he did. He hit 220. I'm hitting 110, so that's not too bad, oh.
Just a minute now, Preach. After all, let me have someone get on the show that I out hit.
I mean, just for his morale, Preach. He's got to have that.
Well, who we get?
Well, why do they call you Preacher?
Well, it's a long story, but I can make it short. When I was 3 years old, my uncle had never seen me, and he said, Preach, what's your name? Or he said, Preach. He couldn't have said that, could he? But he said, young fellow, what's your name? And, no, I'm not going to tell you.
You said I'm not going to tell you?
And he said, I'll give you a nickel. I'll never forget the nickel. So I said, Preacher, no one knows why. But it's a good one. It stayed with
you. It stayed with you, and
sure
I mean, you've done very well with it, I'll tell you that.
I know probably a lot of our fans think that at one time you were a preacher or that you were going to be a preacher, but
well,
it was
a lot of them do think that, but really that's the way it happened.
Your real name is Elwin, isn't it?
That's right. I don't know whether I should like that or not. I didn't like it at the time.
Evidently you didn't when you were 3 years old. We might as well get the ball rolling with this question from William Fuller. And he says, what is the pitch that Preacher Roll throws that breaks straight down?
Well, I have two pitches in particular that he could mean. In the first place, I throw a different assortment of curves. And one curveball in particular, if I throw it overhand, breaks straight down. And then I throw an overhand slider that breaks straight down. The sliders are faster than the two pitches, but the curve breaks more. So I don't know which one he could mean there. Probably the curveball.
Well, Preacher, he couldn't possibly mean this this spitball that everyone in the National League accuses you of throwing, could he?
Me throw a spitball?
Now, look, Preacher, that's a very good question.
That
now, wait a
look
minute.
Off your face. This now isn't that news to you. I'm sure that every club you've pitched against has put up a big beef about this. Now, come on.
No,
come
they,
clean.
No, they haven't, really. Now, I'll tell you, the St. Louis puts up quite a beef, and Cincinnati. And, of course, I hear it occasionally from individual hitters. Not the good hitters. I'll say that. Stan Musial, for instance, he'll never say a word. I don't care what the pitch is. He said, if it's near the plate, I'll hit it. And he does.
Well, I know one thing. I know one thing to help answer your question there, Preach. I know that that I've got quite a pitcher on the New York Ball Club also, and Sal Magley.
Yes, you
and,
have.
And Luke Sewell, the Cincinnati manager, when we were in Cincinnati in this last Western trip, accused Magley of throwing a spitter. And I never will forget the remark that Lee Ballenfant, who was the umpire behind the plate on that particular night game, and he said to Sewell after about the fifth inning, he said, Mr. Sewell, come up here. And I run up to the plate because Magley was getting aggravated. I mean, calling for the ball every inning. And so when Sewell got up there, Ballenfant put his hand on the shoulder and he said, I think I can give it almost word for word. He said, Mr. Sewell, you better tell your hitters that Mr. Magley is striking them out with curveballs. They're not spitters. The good hitters don't complain, and I think that the other hitters should be alert enough at the plate that they're ready to hit it if it is a spitter. After all, they've taken everything away from the pitchers today, and they've given the hitters a little bit of an advantage at the plate.
Leo, I'm proud you said that because you're the only man that I've heard say it. The pitchers haven't been given as much as the hitters. But every rule that's been passed in the last 10 years has been for the hitters.
No, they've taken away the strike zone. They've lowered it. You have to thread the eye of a needle today to keep from walking in.
If the ball is a little dark, any kind of place on it, to throw it out. And if the ball doesn't travel true to its course, the hitter hollers, and they'll look at that ball. And a lot of people get the idea they're looking for the fit ball then.
But they invariably throw it out if there's a mark on it.
And, of course, I'll say this about you. I know you've done it to me as well. You've hollered, look at the ball, and you try to get me riled up.
Oh, I always do that.
I know. If we got to take that into consideration.
Sure.
So I just don't pay any attention to it. Leo, I hope the hitter looks for it, because that's one more guess he's got to make when I'm shaking my head.
Well, I've told the hitters on my club,
Freak. Speaking of shaking your head, you know when a catcher is giving you a signal, and you shake it off, and then he gives you another signal, and you shake it off? Pretty soon you've shaken off all the signals, evidently, and he comes out to the mound. Well, what do you do out there? Why do you keep shaking off the signals to bring him out? You must want to pitch something.
She said I must want to pitch something. I tell Liz that sometime I'd rather not. So the catcher comes and says, you know, maybe Thompson's hitting. He's a pretty good boy to mention. Or used to in Irvin. You remember how you hit
me? Yeah, Monty.
All right, the cap had run out. What do you want to throw for each? And I'd say, just between us, I'd rather not throw it. sometimes it's about that way. But you answer the question, Leo.
Well, I think when the pitcher keeps shaking his head, honey, it's to confuse the hitter. In other words, if the count is two balls and one strike, and the catcher goes down and gives a fastball sign, the pitcher may shake his head no. Then they'll give the curve, and the pitcher will shake his head no. Then they'll come right back and give the fastball, and the pitcher says yes. He wants to throw that all the time, but he'd rather shake his head a couple of times to let the hitter at the plate say, well, I wonder what he's going to throw me, a fast one, a curve, a change of pace. It confuses the hitter.
Certain hitters can do it.
But how about a few words now from a fellow who has a great record?
And now back to Double Play with DeRocher and Day.
Tell me, Preach, do you ever do any experimenting when you're out on the mound? I mean, like, you know, a new hitter comes up, someone you haven't faced before, and they tell you that he's a high fastball hitter or a low fastball hitter. Do you ever throw him one of those to find out if it's true, do just a little bit of checking up?
Yes, I do. I did. The other day in a game against the Cardinals, I did, Rain. They got a young fellow named Miggins, and, of course, I went along, I got a 6-0 lead, and, fourth inning, I believe it was, I tell you, I thought I'd beat him because usually when I get four runs, I feel pretty cocky out there and feel I can beat him. So this day, they got a man on and Megan's up, and I'm going to experiment and see if he can hit this particular pitch that they said to not throw him. And I threw it to him. Of course, he hit it up in the seats. Two runs. It wasn't too funny. I wound up, Leo, in the clubhouse, and we beat him 14-4. And I'm in there talking to the clubhouse man.
You got knocked out of the box that same inning?
That same inning. I started with an experiment to Miggins, and I wound up in the clubhouse.
Well, you know, that reminds me of a story, Preach, that happened during the World Series in 1934. This goes back a long time, Preach, when I was playing shortstop for the St. Louis Cardinals. And you know the fellow I'm going to talk about, the great Dizzy Dean. And Diz was pitching for us, and we had Delancey catching, and Frankie Frisch, who was the manager of the club, was playing second base. And we had the Detroit club beat in the seventh and final game of the World Series, 9-0. And I think it was about the seventh inning. And as I say, Diz pitching, Delancey catching, and Greenberg, who couldn't hit Dizzy Dean when Diz had wind up and thrown that sidearm fastball and get it high inside. Big Hank just couldn't get the bat on it. And We pitched him there all during the series, and especially Diz, and he had great success against him. And so finally, here comes Greenberg at the plate, and Delancey goes down, as he always did, and he... One. Diz says no. Two. No. Three. No. Four. Wiggle his fingers for a slow curve, and Diz still shook his head no. So Delancey said, like that, we start all over. One. No. Two. No. Three. No. Four. No. Well, Delancey said to the umpire, tie. So Frisch and myself, we both walked into the mound, and Diz went back and got the rosin bag, was patting it. Delancey says, well, that's all you got. What are you going to do, throw your shoe up here? He says, you haven't got anything else to throw. And Diz said, Hubble is no better pitcher than I am. He said, I'd like to throw him a screwball, he says. I think I can get him out. Now, he wanted to experiment in a World Series game against Greenberg. And finally, Frisch says, get back in there. You know, Frank, we could close this show very quickly if I was to use some of the language that Frank used. Frank said, you get in there and pitch and throw him that high fast one inside. So Diz deliberately just wound up and threw him a high fast one right there, letter high, out away from him, right where you're not supposed to pitch it. And Greenberg hit a line drive right back by his ear into center field. And Diz just turned around, looked at Frisch and myself, and he just, you're right. He can hit it. You know, you had to prove to Dizzy Dean that you could hit a certain pitch.
Scouts are usually right, aren't they, when they say don't throw him here.
Well, I tell you, when you get the information on a certain hitter that he can't hit a low one and a fast one, or an inside one or an outside one, as Preach knows, the report is pretty accurate. And if you go against it 9 out of 10 times, you're going to be wrong.
You're going to end up in the clubhouse. Well, fellas, I'm sorry we could go on forever like this, but we've just run out of time, and we have to say goodbye now to our fans. So.
And don't forget, Preach, give me a receipt for that Brooklyn Bridge.
Oh, you guys.
Right. All right.
So long.
Listening to another chapter of Double Play with baseball's most exciting couple, Lorraine Day and Leo DeRocher. Today, Lorraine and Leo had as their guest Preacher Rowe. Join us when again it's time for Double Play with Leo DeRocher and Lorraine Day, plus another big-time guest star. Double Play is produced and directed by Ted Nealon and is a Martez production.